Morning and welcome again to Open Bible Podcast, Forward and Hope's Daily Devotional. It's a glorious morning here, and if you're in the UK, I hope you've been enjoying this lovely summer weather that's finally come to us. Today we are continuing our reading through the prophecy of Jonah. Yesterday we dealt with chapter 1, and there we were thinking of Jonah as a type of the Christian. Of one who has the Spirit of God within him and who has also the flesh within him. And there is this tension between doing my will and the will of the Father, the will of God. And we ought to do the will of God, but in reality, sadly at times, we follow our own will and we sin. Now the question then is, what happens? What do we do? What happens when we sin? Well, this is what we're going to consider today as we come to chapter 2. We'll just remind ourselves that the last verse of chapter 1 really leads us into chapter 2. And it says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So let's get into chapter 2 then. And if you've got your Bible with you, you can turn it up and read along with us. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bowers was about me for ever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And so there we have it. A short chapter, as we said, but we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, I began just posing that question, what happens when a Christian sins? Well, the simple answer to that is, we need to get back to the cross. We need to come back to the cross and to recognize what Christ has done for us. And this is really what we see here in this chapter. As we said yesterday, in chapter 1, verse 17, where we read that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, we were thinking of how the Lord Jesus takes up that and would use it in reference to his own death and resurrection. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And I don't think, just as an aside, we don't need to get all caught up in trying to measure exactly 3 days and three nights fully. I don't think this phrase is meant as a sort of a scientific time boundary that we may think of in our day, but rather the important point that the Lord Jesus is driving home there is the truth of the resurrection. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, but then he rose again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. It is only on that one occasion we read of 3 days and three nights. The majority of the time where we speak about Christ's death and burial, it is, and his resurrection, it speaks about, and the third day. That is the more important point. It was on the third day that Christ rose again. Now, to get back to our subject here with Jonah. You see, Jonah here is paying the price. And he speaks about how, in verse 3, he speaks about how the Lord had cast him into the deep, into the midst of the seas. floods compassed me about, all thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Jonah was very clear that what had happened to him was an act of God. God was judging him for his sin. Now we need to understand that first and foremost, don't we, that sin bears a price. Our God is a holy God, and sin must be dealt with, sin must be punished. Now for Jonah here, he is going to pay the price for his own sin. He's going to be cast out into the sea, and he is going to go through this experience which indicates to us something of death and resurrection. Now, how wonderful it is for you and I today that we don't have to worry about that. That ultimate penalty of sin, the penalty of death, no longer hangs over us. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've said, he is the one who has gone to the cross. He has suffered upon the cross. These words that Jonah uses here are words that are also used in Psalm 42, verse 7. Thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. And they're in reference to the Messiah, in reference to Christ and to his death, to his sufferings, that he bore the full weight of sin in his own body on that cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ died, and his blood was shed, and he went into death, and he went down into the grave, and he was buried. But as we said, on that third day, he rose again triumphant. You see, in verse 6 here, Jonah says, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. For Jonah, there was corruption. You see, sin brought corruption. And corruption ultimately is seen in death. Yet Jonah was brought up from corruption. How very different for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 16, that great prophecy concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. We read, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And while the Lord Jesus Christ died and gave his life and shed his blood and was buried, yet his body saw no corruption. And on that third day, he rose again from the dead. Now, because of that, because of what Christ has done, and because he now has ascended into the very presence of his Father, Almighty God, with his own blood, we now can have access into God's presence. We don't have to fear that ultimate penalty of sin, death. Christ has taken it on our behalf. And so when we do sin, yes, we need to get back to the cross, and we need to confess our sin once again. But then we remember, don't we, the words of the Apostle John. And he says, if any man sin, we're not expecting to sin. We shouldn't want to sin. We should want to live holy lives. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation there includes all of those thoughts of sacrifice, of bloodshed, of death, and of then that blood being taken in to the very presence of God, to the mercy seat. And it's on the ground of that shed blood that God is now then able to dispense mercy to us. And we're restored back to communion with our God and our Father. And isn't it wonderful that our God is a God of restoration? Yes, he's a God of reconciliation. To begin with, we who were afar off are brought nigh. But then, even as we sin as believers, he's a God of restoration. He wants to bring us back. He doesn't want us to languish in our sin. And perhaps someone listening here, and as a Christian, you have sinned. And perhaps you feel that your life is no longer worth living for God, that God could never use you again. Well, that is not biblical. We see it here even in this chapter. In verse 6, thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Jonah is restored again, restored back into service. And he says in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah is restored again. And so let me just encourage you today to come back to the cross, to come back into the presence of God. We spoke about the presence of God yesterday and how for the Jew, the temple in Jerusalem was that symbol of the divine presence. And Jonah was trying to get as far away from that as possible. He was heading out into the sea to get as far away. And he did almost get as far as he could. He went right down to the very depths of the sea, to the bottom of the earth, to the bottoms of the mountains, to that place of that symbolizes death. There was Jonah. And yet even there, he now realizes in chapter 2 that even there, God's presence is with him. And when he prays in that place, in the belly of that fish, his prayer is heard by the Lord. Verse 7, my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. There was such a great distance between where Jonah was in the belly of the fish and where the temple stood there in Jerusalem. There was such a great distance. But Jonah was absolutely sure that his prayer had entered into the very presence of God. And that's a lovely thought, isn't it? That we can come back again. Come back into the very presence of our God. We don't have to stay at a distance. The Lord doesn't want us to stay at a distance. He wants us close. And he would point us again to Calvary. He would point us to the Advocate. He would point us to his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where Jonah comes to at the end there of verse number 9. He makes this great statement, and perhaps, you know, we talk about the prophecy of Jonah. And when you read Jonah, it's a lovely, great story. And yet there's really very little of prophecy in terms of how we define prophecy and see it in the rest of the prophets. Perhaps this statement in itself is the greatest prophetic statement, certainly the greatest prophetic statement that Jonah made, and perhaps one of the greatest prophetic statements of any of the prophets. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, what is in Hebrew, what Jonah is saying is, Yeshua is of Yahweh. Yeshua. That's the very name Jesus, as we speak about Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua is of Yahweh. What he's saying is this, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. The salvation that we have is in him. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. That salvation is divine in its origin. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. And here we have, way back in the Old Testament here, in this little book of Jonah, is this wonderful declaration of the deity of Christ set out before us as our Saviour. What a tremendous thought that is. Let's just finish our thoughts just in the earlier part of verse 9. Jonah, having been restored and having recognized something of the person of the Messiah, the Christ, how is he now going to live? Well, he's been restored up again to stand once again on resurrection ground. And on that resurrection ground, he's now going to live a sacrificial life. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul says, doesn't he, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, that flesh of mine is gone. I stand with Christ. As he has died, I have died. And my will is no longer, my flesh is no longer. I'm putting that to death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here was Paul living on this ground of resurrection, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and his life. Now that life was a life of sacrifice. Paul lived that life every day, the life of sacrifice. And so he had the moral authority to say in Romans chapter 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you may seek to do the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? Well, that's a big topic, the will of God. But in Thessalonians, Paul there speaks about two things particularly. One, in chapter 4, the will of God is our sanctification. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we would be holy. And then in chapter 2, we read that thanksgiving, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And that's what Jonah says here. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And let us come back to the Lord again. And if we have drifted off and if we have wandered away, let us come back to the cross again. Let us rededicate our lives once again. Let us recommit ourselves to living for the Lord in that power of his resurrection, that we may bring glory to his name, to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you all today. Thank you for listening.